What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Diving right back into 8 o'clock hour here on 96.5 The Fan. Quick shout out to all those bus drivers out there as well, putting up with all those kiddos getting back to school. At least some are back tomorrow. I don't know about anybody else in Jackson County. I just know that I think Blue Springs, Lee Summit, Spring Valley, Oak Grove, maybe I'm wrong there, all tomorrow.
Did Frank try to cancel school over there and charge you for it?
Well, he's about to get canceled.
Oh.
Shout out to those bus drivers. I mean, that's not an easy job.
No, it's a terrible job.
But a lot of them listen to us. So we try to help you guys out. Maybe, you know, parents tell your kids, hey, best behavior on the bus. You know, I'll turn this damn bus around.
Yeah.
O'Doyle rules. Don't be O'Doyle.
Yeah, don't be that guy on the bus.
You see how O'Doyle's life ends.
Yeah, not well.
Banana peel.
Yeah.
Irony. Shout out to the bus drivers. Shout out to all the people. Do they still do the stop signs and stuff on the road in schools?
Crossing guards?
Yeah,
they're out. Well, just depends.
Do they peer pressure you into signing up for that?
No.
Okay.
No, that's a paid job.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's a paid job. But, like, you know,
I would do that if our show got out earlier.
Well, you could do it in the afternoon if you wanted to.
Sweet.
The problem is you put in, like, time, you get paid, like, 1 hour, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really all the work.
I would just take all my money and put it towards,
cards,
gambling, or
okay,
cards, gambling or cards.
Fair, so they pay you $15 an hour to be the crossing guard, right?
Shoot, yeah.
That's a $15.
But it's only like 1 hour a day.
That's a $15 bet every day.
That's true. $75 a week.
I've already
right
put $10 in on a parlay for the Royals tonight.
My crossing guard at Leawood Elementary, Miss Oldie, she was the goat. She was awesome, man.
Yeah.
Loved her. Miss Oldie was great, and she was a lunch lady too.
She was the lunch lady
and
slash crossing guard.
Yeah, man.
She really hit all the boxes,
she did.
Man.
When I busted my lip and wide open, had to get stitches, she helped me to the nurse's office. She was
great. That was so nice of her
it
to do
so
that.
It nice
really
her.
Was.
I used to fake injury just to go to the nurse's office to get a bag of ice so I could eat it in class.
Really?
What was the worst injury you ever had in school? Because I know what mine was.
Okay, what was it?
Okay, you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Fourth grade. I was turning a page in a book and cut my eye with paper. A paper cut in my eye.
Ah,
yeah.
In the actual eye?
Like the white part of the eye.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I remember, like, just please put this, like, they had the eye wash solution. He goes, it ain't helping. And I said, just please put it in there. It's not going to help. I put it in there. It didn't help.
Damn.
And I honest to God, don't remember how it ultimately ended up healing. But you have those weird injuries when you're a kid.
That's
I'll
crazy.
Never forget. Like, to this day, kind of just stand away from paper now because I always fear that I'm going to get this paper
Damn.
Cut in my eye.
Did you bonk your chin on the monkey bars when you were a kid or any injury, like broken bone or anything on the playground?
Yeah, it was just the busted lip
or yesterday.
On the cafeteria table.
Oh, just too excited for lunch?
Yep.
What was being served that day? Cinnamon rolls and chili?
Chicken tetrazzini.
That was the best day. Cinnamon rolls, chili was the best day.
That must be a Kansas thing.
It is. That's
is.
Why I brought it up because I figured it was cinnamon roll chili day. You got so excited, you slipped and you hit the table.
I knew you had to go to the table to sit first. Whichever table was all seated first would all get to go first. So I was like, run into the table to sit down, trip, bang.
What grade was this?
I think it was fourth grade.
Was it fourth grade?
Yeah, I think it was fourth grade.
Did you have your shoes tied?
And I had an opening night of a musical that I was in
Oh, no.
That night, so I had to go get stitches. I looked terrible. I was in the ensemble.
What
did
you sing? Fat Lip by Sum 41?
Exactly.
What were you? What musical was it?
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Nice. Yeah,
it was great. Still remember all the colors.
Stolen to the table like a name was
Were you the wig master by chance in that or not?
Just a kid.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Those are your guys' injuries in school.
Did you have one?
Yeah, broken heart.
Oh, dang, man. Yeah.
Now I can.
It got me.
But no.
That's not an injury.
Speak for yourself. I'm still single. Can't get over fifth grade love. No, I, on the way to seventh grade, you can probably see it a little bit on my elbow there, that skin.
Yeah.
So my bike tire got caught between the grass and the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah. You used to get caught in that, yeah.
And I panicked and hit the front brake, flew over, elbow scraped all the way across the sidewalk. And I just thought it was one of those burns. So I went in to get into my locker, and this young girl next to me, I believe her name was Chambree. That was her name. And I'm doing my unlocking of my locker, and she just goes, "Oh, my God, your elbow is sick." And I looked over, and I mean, talk about weak knees. I was like, "Oh, my God." So I go to the nurse's office. What does this wonderful nurse do?
pours rubbing alcohol down my arm. And I went, oh, F. And I got one day of in-school detention for abusive language.
Yeah, that's a little much there.
Where was my mom hot?
Yeah, yeah, but that, I mean, that you just poured rubbing alcohol on a fifth grader. Like, what
I mean,
you
an open cut with gravel in it. I mean, it was literally one of the worst pains of my life.
Yeah, you can't do that and not expect something to be uttered. Yeah. I mean,
I think
you're
just impressed that I was in seventh grade and could say the F word that well. Yeah. I mean, I didn't miss a beat.
Well, that seventh grade is about when you start learning that. Let's say people always say, what are my kids? Your kids are learning all this at school, Grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
Like, seriously, stop trying to protect your kids. They're finding out all the information that they need.
Did kids ever put pennies in their mouth to get their fever up so they could get out of school?
No, never.
I've heard pennies in your mouth if you're like drinking and driving. That was an old wives' tale back.
You guys had cinnamon roll and chili. We had copper pennies under the tongue to raise the temperature up.
Oh, God. A legacy game is going to take place on Sunday afternoon. I've been saying all week, I think it's the biggest game we've ever seen at Arrowhead Stadium.
Well, that voice sounds familiar.
That wasn't 35-0.
That wasn't 35-0.
No,
I know,
but that was the Kingdoms, episode 5.
Okay, yeah, that was the part that I was
okay,
in,
that's,
right?
Yes, yes.
I think.
You can feel
that's
that.
You.
Yeah,
you.
No, that's definitely that's me. Like,
you can tell Bob's plums are, like, swollen. Like, he's hard.
A legacy game is going to take place on Sunday afternoon. I've been saying all week, I think it's the biggest game we've ever seen at Arrowhead Stadium.
Talking about the games of the AFC Championship game, Buffalo in Kansas City.
It was. I mean, find me a game bigger than what we saw in that AFC Championship. I don't know. I mean, what's this? This will be the fourth year in a row going to the Super Bowl, right? Let's say they get back to the Super Bowl this year, make it 4 years in a row, right? Maybe next year's AFC Championship game to give him 5 straight Super Bowls will be a bigger game at Arrowhead Stadium because nobody's been to 5 Super Bowls in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so maybe that will have that bigger feel. But up until we get to that point, there's not been a bigger game at Arrowhead Stadium. And I don't think there'll be a bigger one this year, impactful, meaningful type of game like that one was going to lead itself to, right?
Yeah, I think you're
winning
right.
That third straight Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Even making the fourth Super Bowl in a row this year, Buffalo already did that, right? Mm-hmm. That's not something new to be accomplished this year. Now, if it was the three-peat and then winning 4 in a row, oh, hell yeah.
Jeez.
But so that's why I think you skip this year. The Travis final game on Christmas night will be big, but not as impactful, obviously, as that game that was for the AFC Championship. So if you get through this year, skip a year, next year, 2026, AFC Championship game to go to your fifth straight Super Bowl, that will become the biggest game in Arrowhead Stadium history.
I know that I'm hard.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. Big time. But you said that there was something key about this kingdom that showed you about. You wanted to talk about Steve Spagnuolo.
Spagnuolo, yeah. Like, and Mac even texted me about this yesterday.
I'm always looking for the spaghetti in the background of his shots because he does it in his kitchen. And I'm like, where's the white?
What do you think? She's taking the spaghetti and throwing it on the wall to see if it sticks.
As much as she's making for those guys that eat it.
I'm telling you, and she can cook. When he was the coach of the Rams, they had us for dinner. The food that she makes is phenomenal. She's a phenomenal cook.
It's awesome.
And so Spags is in this, and you text me yesterday, go, God, these guys would run through a wall of fire for this guy right about now, right? And they talk about the difference that Steve Spagnuolo has made on this team. And if you're thinking about kind of like the hierarchy and you're kind of like ranking these guys by importance in the organization, I don't think you'd have an argument by saying Steve Spagnuolo is the third most important person in this dynasty. You'd have an argument over number two. You wouldn't have an argument over number one. It's Andy Reid. You wouldn't have an argument over number three. I don't think it's Steve Spagnuolo. The argument you would have is Brett Veach or Patrick Mahomes at number two.
I mean, the way this team just changed. I mean, Spags, Tyrann Mathieu, Super Bowl, right? Dynasty built. And then you get the shirts last, or was it 2 years ago? And Spags, we trust, and everybody's wearing those shirts. And you just kind of get like the narrative. Yeah, he's massive. I mean, we talk about Hall of Fame career as a coordinator, and they don't exist.
Right, yeah.
And he's that impactful.
He's that impactful. That's why I think he's number three. He's not number two, and he's not number one. So but the number two one is debatable.
He could be number two, too. He
could be number two if you really wanted to push the envelope a little bit. I wouldn't argue with you
that
if you wanted to put him at number two.
Seeing how those guys talked about him, I was just like, whoa. Like, it's the same way you hear offensive guys talk about Andy Reid. Like, he has that control over his defense, and it's a testament to Andy Reid, too, the way he runs his team. Hey, I've got this half, Spags, go crazy, take care of him. Everyone knows that's the way it works, and they would. They'd run into a fire.
What you just said there is the reason why Andy Reid is a successful football coach in the NFL and why Todd Haley's not a successful football coach in the NFL.
Ego?
Yes and no, but being able to give everybody else credit. It was one of the great things that Dick Vermeil always did. Everybody else got the credit. He never took the credit for everything, and I've always kind of marveled that in Dick Vermeil and in coaches, and it kind of always sat in the back of my mind. When I see coaches now, I'm like, I can pretty much tell right away if you're going to be successful or not. When you're trying to get all that credit and trying to look like you're the guy, that's when you fail. The guy in San Diego failed miserably because he was that way. Andy Reid doesn't care who gets the credit. I called the bad plays. Matt called the good plays. Steve Spagnuolo called all the good plays. I take the bad plays, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's the way you become a leader. That's the way you lead your organization.
And you saw that in that Green Bay skit when, like, he's like, who called that play? He's like, I called it. And Brett's like, you just saved my ass, Andy.
Exactly. The Green Bay skit sums up Andy, and not skit, but that scene. Like Mike Holmgren, for those who haven't seen it, is chewing out Brett Favre on the sidelines. And Andy Reid's like the quarterback coach, right? And he gets involved and goes, hey, that's on me. Even though it really wasn't on him.
And that's all he says.
He goes, that's on me. And then Holmgren starts ripping Andy Reid. And Andy just goes, that's on me. That's on me. And you could see Favre in the background smiling. Yeah. Like, Andy just took all this heat and pressure off of me. That's a big reason why he's successful. Because everybody gets the credit. I take all the blame.
Big
everybody
trust.
Gets the credit. I take all the blame. Tom Coughlin had that with Steve Spagnuolo too, when he was the head coach of the Giants and Spags was the defensive coordinator, and they beat, you know, the New England Patriots. Go do your defense, Spags. I mean, those guys, you hear Strahan still to this day talk about Spags and the impact that this guy's had. So could he be the second most important person to this dynasty? There's an argument to be made, but I would imagine more people would say Mahomes or probably Veach in that category than maybe Steve Spagnuolo. But I just think, the more that I watch that documentary and think about what's gone on, Steve Spagnuolo is more important to this organization than we will ever, ever realize.
I'd almost have an argument that Clark's number one.
Just allowing all this to happen.
Having that, because like when they show the behind closed door meeting and they're giving the stats of Kelsey in the playoffs.
That was cool,
And it's Andy and it's Brett and it's Spags and it's, I think,
Donovan's in there.
G's in there. And they're all talking. And Clark just sits there and goes, to think they were going to a seventh AFC championship game is wild.
Yeah.
And Andy's speechless. And none of this happens. And I know it's easy to put all the weight on the owner, but we talk about owners all the time. We talk about Cincinnati. We talk about Dallas. We talk about all these teams that fail miserably because they want it to be about them. Clark Hunt doesn't go on a radio show once a week. Clark Hunt doesn't show himself out there unless it's the playoffs or a significant franchise win. And the fact that he sat down with Andy and just said, you're not going to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're coming here. My franchise is in shambles. I am not going to fail my father. We are going to build this thing, and you are going to be the big part of it. There's a lot of praise you could put on Clark Hunt being the number one reason why they are here today.
And I would even take that one step further, and I would say the whole Hunt family in general, because there was some discussion about keeping Scott Pioli on. As you know, Scott Pioli wasn't fired until Andy Reid fired Scott Pioli, essentially, right? Like 2 days later after Andy was hired, sorry, Scott, you're no longer working here. So it's the Hunt family in general, all of, and especially Norma, too, for willing, being the matriarch of that family and telling Clark, hey, we got to make these changes, right? Mom said it's time to make these changes. Brothers and sisters, and everybody agrees, because when you fire a coaching staff, you're not just hiring a new coaching staff. A lot of checks you got to write out the door for a lot of people. That was as costly a decision as anything the Hunts
have
done.
And one of those checks is humble. You got to write that humble check and be like, you know what? I failed. This is the way. Because they tell you how low this franchise got. And all these people that say, oh, you're fair weather fans, you weren't here. I remember the Javon Belcher stuff.
And I think that's why it's important to show all that in this documentary, so people outside the area can realize, before Andy Reid took here, we had a murder-suicide.
Yeah. And what, 2 wins? 2-14?
Yeah. 2-14.
And the laughing stock of the NFL, I mean, it was terrible.
Terrible.
It was the most down bad this franchise has, in my opinion,
and that
ever
was,
been.
I mean, it started with the Eric Winston and all of that kind of stuff. It went to banners and Whitlock calling this show and spending money at the airport to fly banners about firing people. It led to songs. It led to screaming. It led to Lewisburg. Like, that was just 2012.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mention the murder-suicide that happened in 2012, too. That's how all of that ended. It started with Lewisburg and ended up with a murder-suicide in 4 months. That thing and all of that stuff that happened in between. People who weren't here don't understand what that year was like. And then, you know, looking back and explaining how Lamar Hunt, there was a great homage to Lamar, too, in this documentary, letting the world know that's the cat we need to be thanking for the NFL. Nobody else but Lamar, because he's so just subtle, never took the credit for it. Lamar Hunt should be a bigger name in the NFL than he is right now, and this documentary is really showing that.
And then since that season, they've had one season under 10 wins.
No, none seasons under 500. Yeah,
under 10 wins. Yeah. I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. They went 9-7 in year two, and then now they've rattled off 9 consecutive AFC West titles.
Sick.
So it's crazy how that changed. We will get into the expansion that could be coming geographically for baseball a little bit later, but I want to get to On the Come.
On the Come.
What was it?
On the Come.
It's Tuesday. Hit it a third time.
On the Come.
Mac, you're on the top of the list. Who's your On the Come this week?
You tell you about this guy.
I figured it was coming. Mini Banks coming.
Nobody knows. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Where do you get a name of this
thing? People know him now. They didn't know him 3 weeks ago, other than fantasy nerds. We've been talking about him for a month. You'll know him in a week. I mean, he's the starting running back for the Commanders, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. You can make fun of me, but he is the guy I know. It's the most nerd
name.
He
goes by JCM.
He goes by Bill, actually, which is funny enough.
He goes by Bill. How they got Bill out of that? I'm watching that game last night, and I'm like, Bill?
I have one of my best friends' name is Jeremy, and we call him Bill. We just call him Bill.
All right.
And the other day, we had a guy that came over to the swim party. His name was Bill, and it was confusing. He's like, why do you keep calling him Bill? His name's Jeremy. I'm like, I don't know.
His middle name is William.
We just call him Bill.
His middle name is William.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. Why. That makes sense.
But his first name is Jeremy. It's not like his first name is William.
Yeah, but a lot of people go by their middle name.
No one calls me Kurt.
Yeah. But there are people who go by their middle name all the time.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah. That totally happens.
Last name.
I don't know where they got Bill, but that came out last night. It's not Ja'Cory. It's Bill Kroski-Merritt. Whatever.
Bill Kroski.
I know Bill Kroski.
He uses rattlesnakes as condoms.
This guy once ran in a preseason game and had Max Stone so hard, they fell off a cliff.
He's been talked about in dynasty circles for a little over a month, in nerd circles, and now he's making his way to the national news because Brian Robinson's going to get traded. He's going to be the number one running back for the Commanders, and he's really good so far. We'll see. He wasn't that great in college. I don't know why.
Where did he go? But doesn't matter. I mean,
small school.
Was Isaiah Pacheco any good at Rutgers?
I don't know.
Who the hell cares,
right? Yeah.
You're a running back in the NFL. It's a smart thing to do. Trade Robinson. Give to the young guy. When he gets 3 years from now, get rid of his ass.
Exactly.
It's the cycle of life of running backs in the NFL. Yeah.
So there you go. Bill Kroski-Merritt.
Mine on the come is Jackson Dart.
Hey.
Very good preseason game, and there is conversation about him. Whether or not he should start, no, he should not start at all. Shouldn't play one play this year at all.
Giants Nation, let's giant.
Do that, and if that doesn't work, then you got Jameis to back up there, and then if that doesn't work, you got the Parmesan guy and Selmo's friend, and Tommy. Then you can go to Jackson Dart if everybody else lost their legs.
I agree.
Jackson Dart does not need to play. Do not, if you're the Giants, play him at all. Have the restraint that Andy and company did with Patrick Mahomes. It was the best decision that they made.
So if that's the mantra in New York, that means Daboll's safe.
Oh, Daboll's 100%. We've talked about this, Mac, and Daboll's not going anywhere. Daboll's, I would say, this is going to sound ridiculous, one of the safest coaches, I think, right now in the NFL because of Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
Because you cannot have this guy with Jackson Dart this year, then fire him, and then have Jackson Dart next year with a brand new coach. He won't have success next year, and then you're on year three of Jackson Dart.
Yeah, agreed. I think he's got 3 years left. This year, next season, and probably one more season.
Yeah.
Probably what he has. Which, in your words, one of the safer coaches in the league.
I think so.
Yeah,
no,
I think so too.
I do, based on circumstance. Yeah, because you just set your organization back even further if it doesn't work out this year.
They restarted the clock with him once they fired the GM, got a new quarterback, and kept him.
They didn't fire the GM.
Shane's still there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then we restarted the clock when you got a quarterback.
Yeah, now, if you play him in week two and he fails miserably, then we're having a different conversation.
Exactly right.
And for job perseverance, if I'm Brian Daboll, that kid ain't playing at all this year.
No.
I'm going to go with the guy that's going to really make things confusing in Cincinnati, Mitchell Tinsley.
I liked him when he was with the Bears. He was good.
Yeah.
he was really good.
He last night had a hell of a game, and I know it's preseason, but the catch he made in the back of the end zone, the numbers he's putting up, maybe going to make Cincinnati think, should we have given T. Higgins that much money if we had a guy that was pretty good?
Oh, sure they should. All the wide receivers get paid there.
But yeah, Mitchell Tinsley last night on the come, you'll see his name get dropped in the ADP round, you know, picks rounds, I don't know, 8 or 9.
Rounds 8 or 9?
Can T. Higgins stay healthy?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Do you want to play this guy and see what he can do preseason-wise?
And look, quite honestly, draft every Bengals skill position player because they're going to have to put up 35 to 40 points a game to have an opportunity to win. There's going to be a lot of yardage and a lot of points from that Bengals offense. They're really good offense. They're as good as they are on offense, they're as bad on defense. I don't know that I've seen a team this good on one side of the ball and this bad on the other. Like, this makes the 0-3 Chiefs defense look good. Sorry, Shop.
Yeah, he was on there. But yeah, no, this is definitely on the come because none of these names have yet to even prove anything.
That's right. Yeah, but that's the whole point
of the show.
It's perfect for the preseason, right?
Exactly.
Like, or if somebody's going to have a big game in week one, we're like, oh, this is the new guy. Everybody's going to pick him up on Tuesday, you know, in waiver periods and whatnot. That's the beauty of the NFL. There's guys every week that we think are going to be these superstars, and then we never hear from them again, right? Of those three, which one will we not hear from again?
Well, Jackson Dark, according to you, and everybody in New York, he's not going to play. So you'll just hear him on this. You'll just see him on the sideline with the Mahomes thing. Well, there he is.
Yeah, there he is. Every broadcast, he'll show. I wonder if he's going to get in. You know,
wouldn't they have won if Dart was in?
How good is that for the script, though? Too keeps everybody interested, watching, paying 100%. Attention. Are you going to play this guy? Are you going to play this guy? They should say at the beginning of the year, we're not playing him this year.
Do you think so? You don't think he'll play this, or do you think he'll play this year? You don't think he should? Do you think he will?
I don't think so.
Okay, Dusty. No.
I mean, Andy Reid didn't play Patrick Mahomes.
I mean,
yeah, week 18. Yeah,
if he does play, it's a terrible situation.
Yeah, not that last
means,
game. Yeah.
That means Russell Wilson is completely washed. That means Jameis Winston can't throw a ball to a guy in a blue jersey, unless it's the opponent. Right. And then, I mean, I think Dart's ahead of DeVito, but I could be wrong on that. But like, that'd be the only reason why it would happen.
Okay. Yeah.
They'd have to be like what, like 0-6? The season's over. It'd be like a Michael Penix thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Michael Penix probably shouldn't have started last year, but Kirk Cousins started off okay, and then it just went completely to you know what.
Yeah, but the Giants have that's why you have these two quarterbacks if you're the Giants.
Exactly.
So you don't have to play Jackson Dart.
You did your due diligence. You followed the plan. Now see it through.
Right.
Right.
My prediction is by week 7, Jackson Dart's a starter.
Oh, see, no.
I hope I'm wrong.
No,
because I think you're right, Bob. This is the right plan.
Yeah,
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
Shoots, he scores!
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Also think, though, if you do that, then if you're Brian Daboll, then you're on the hot seat.
And then Jay Binkley let me know Tinsley's from Lee Summit. So I'm definitely rooting for that
Let's
dude
go.
Now. And if he doesn't stay with Cincinnati, put him in Seattle and let him and Drew Locke just put on a show. You know, Sam Darnold looked good the other day.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.